Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Few things in life are as painful as separation. Separation is a pain that we all feel because at one time or another we are all divided from those whom we dearly love. Maybe it's because of death, the death of a parent or of a mate, or even the death of a child. Sometimes it's because we move very far away. But separation always brings us tremendous pain. That's one of the reasons that we as children of God can look forward to heaven, where there is no separation. On this earth, there will be division and separation and therefore pain. Today we're going to look in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at brethren, members of the Lord's church who had separated, who had divided themselves from the rest of the church and caused for themselves and others tremendous pain. If you would, open your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. Last week we began a study beginning in verse 18, and Lord willing we will study down through verse 28 over the next few weeks. We confined our study to verse 18 last week, where John wrote, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." This is John writing to people whom he dearly loved, therefore he referred to them as little children. This was an endearing term, and it shows the love that he felt for them, even though he's going to give them a very strong warning. We also see that he tells them about something they have been warned about in the past. They had heard that the Antichrists were coming, and he's telling them that even then many Antichrists had come. Now this does not fit the pattern that we often hear about today, for many refer to the Antichrist as an individual, a single person who will rise at some time in the future. Yet John refers to the Antichrist as those, and there being many of them, who had already come. Today we're going to learn who they were. We also see that John describes them as being in the last times. And of course this fits with the prophecies of Isaiah and Joel, which were fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. As the church was established and the Christian dispensation began, we find ourselves in the last times. Let's turn our attention now to verse 19 of 1 John chapter 2 and find out who these Antichrists were. There John writes, "They," referring to the Antichrists, "went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." We see here that John is describing the Antichrist not only as being many in number, but as being those who once were Christians, those who had gone out from among the saints. There are some who take this particular verse and teach a false doctrine. Let me read to you from Albert Barnes' commentary on this particular passage. Mr. Barnes writes, "The passage before us proves that if any are true Christians, they will remain in the church, or will certainly persevere and be saved. They may indeed backslide grievously. They may wander far away and pain the hearts of their brethren and give occasion to the enemies of religion to speak reproachfully. But the apostle says, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." Now, this again is from Albert Barnes' commentary. Mr. Barnes believed that once saved, it was impossible to fall from grace, and he uses this particular verse to teach that. But notice the very verse that he relies on to teach that teaches exactly the opposite thing. We find here that John is describing these people as Christians. Notice two phrases in verse 19. First of all, he says, "They went out from us." And again, in finishing the verse, he says, "They went out." Now, it's a very easy matter to understand that it is impossible to go out of something that you have not first entered. These people left the church. They went out from among the saved. It would not be possible for them to go out if they had not first come in. We understand then very clearly that the people under consideration here were Christians. These people had been saved. Now, this should not surprise us. The Bible constantly warns Christians about falling away. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 21, we have the explanation, or part of the explanation, of the parable of the sower. You may remember that a man went forward to sow seed, and as he did, the seed fell on four types of soil. Two of those types of soil represent those who hear the truth, who believe it, who initially obey it, but later fall away. Notice he refers to that which fell on the stony ground as the man who has no root in himself, but he endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. The word here, offended, means caused to stumble. We also see the man who is represented by the thorny ground as the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Both of these are those who hear the truth, initially obey it, yet later are turned away from the truth. In John chapter 15, Jesus continues with this agricultural theme and says, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, notice, in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Jesus is not describing those who are outside of the church, who are outside of his body. He refers to those who are in me. He's talking about Christians, those who have already been grafted into Christ. But if that person becomes unfruitful, he will be pruned away. He will be cut away and cast aside. It's not possible to be removed unless we were first connected. We are connected to the vine when we come to him in obedience, and we are removed from the vine when we become unfruitful. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Hebrews writer has just finished giving a warning regarding the fact that the children of Israel fell because of their unbelief. They were not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan, but an entire generation was caused to perish in the wilderness. He then says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Just as Israel was God's covenant people of the Old Testament times, yet many of them were cut off because of their unbelief and disobedience, it is possible today for one who is a child of God, a member of the Lord's church, to be cut off because of his disobedience. In 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul wrote, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas is mentioned on at least two other occasions in the Bible as being one who was a fellow worker, a co-laborer, one who was a profitable servant of the Lord. Here, however, we find that Demas has left the faith. He has deserted Paul because he loved this present world. The Bible is very clear to us that Christians can fall away, and often do fall away. That's why we are constantly warned not to be part of that number. We also need to understand from this particular passage that a division had occurred between these people who had left and those who were remaining faithful, and that there are times when a division is necessary. It says in this particular verse that those left in order that it might be made manifest that they were not of them. We need to remember that God desires unity, but He desires unity that's based on the Word. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20, Jesus prays, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Notice he's praying for those who will believe on him through the word that the apostles taught. That's me and that's you, if we are children of God today. He is praying for us. He's praying for a unity, but notice that the unity is based on the Word of God. God does not want and realizes that there cannot be union at all costs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 18, Paul is addressing a problem in the church at Corinth. Some had turned the Lord's Supper into a common meal. In so perverting it, they were taking away this sacred act of worship from the people of God. Paul is addressing that problem, and he says, beginning in verse 18, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. Now, you might think that Paul is getting ready to chastise them for these divisions. You may remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he does chastise them for being divided, and he encourages them to all speak the same thing, and to be of the same mind and the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. But here he says, I partly believe it. I believe that there are these divisions among you, for there must be also heresies or divisions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Paul is acknowledging the fact that when some of God's children go astray, when they leave the faith, it is necessary at times for those who are remaining faithful to separate themselves from those who are not faithful, in order that the division between those who are doing right and wrong might be clearly made. Sometimes we forget this. We forget that that division, though painful, is occasionally necessary. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham.